Right. Hello, everyone. Good evening, and I hope you had a good weekend. I'm just going to start the room in about 2 minutes, and I look forward to having a strong conversation today about customer obsession. And I just see that our first joiner, Kujuvi, just joined. Thank you for joining early. I'm just getting the room set up, and I trust we're going to have an awesome time today. If you're running a business, if you are not running a business, but providing service in one way or the other, you are going to find this incredibly insightful. I'm going to share two stories today, which are related to the topic. Before I share those two stories, I'm going to also give a little bit of a background in terms of the concepts that I'll be addressing this evening. So the moment you hear my voice, one of the things I want you to do is to share the conversation. And another thing I want you to do is to look at the link I've just put on the at the header. We are driving a petition to have people change their appetite and purchase things locally made. That's something that we want to drive as Kabila community, because if we can increase the demand of locally made products, then those who are producing those products, the entrepreneurs who are leading the charge in developing productivity, in increasing productivity locally, will have a customer base to sell to. So who is the customer? Who is the customer? People like to differentiate between the customer and the consumer. In most cases of business, the customer is equal to the consumer. But there are a few cases where the customer is not the consumer. But one of the things I want you to know about the customer is that he is the one who pays for the product. The customer pays you. So if you are in any kind of business, in any kind of service delivery, one of the things you want to know about the customer is that he pays. If he pays, then effectively the customer is your primary employer. The customer is actually your employer. It is not the person who pays you from HR or from a payroll that is your employer. The real employer is the customer. The customer must thus become your highest priority after God. You know, he has to become your highest priority, because if he's not paying, then you are not getting paid. If he's not paying, if the customer, the person who is purchasing the product, if he's not paying, then you do not have money from the thing you are producing, from the product you are peddling. Now, customer, we hear a variety of expressions that relate to how we treat the customer, how we treat the customer. And in the past, what was dominant was customer service. After that, what was dominant was customer experience. And recently, I began to hear the concept of customer obsession. Customer obsession. And Forrester has an interesting article on it. They talk about it as being completely consumed about seeing things from the customer's perspective. Developing your strategy, developing your operating model, developing your products from the perspective of the customer. I mean, it's like, I am crazy about this person who is going to pay for my product. That's what it's really all about. I want to become so crazy. Bernard, thank you for joining. I appreciate you being here. So crazy about the person who is going to pay for my product. We had a session last year with Kabila community workshops. And in one of the conversations, one of our attendants, Vivian, asked the question that what if the customer says, I want to pay with a check. And I say, I don't take checks because I've had a bad experience taking checks in the past. Now, what, Ernest, thank you for joining. Now, the response I made to her was, look, if you are working for a CEO and you are his or her PA, and he said, look, I want my coffee with white sugar, not brown sugar. Are you going to say, I don't do brown sugar. Brown sugar is healthy. It's healthy for you and all that. You're not going to say all that. You are going to do what your boss wants. If you see the customer as your boss, then the first thing you want to think about is, how can I do what the boss wants? How can I do what the customer wants? That is an indication of how obsessed you are with the customer, how totally crazy about the customer you are. I believe that customer obsession is a radical differentiator in our part of the world, because many small businesses, many organizations, many people who are trying to sell something, they lack it. And the part of the reason surviving and thriving is that they are monopolies. So you have a particular neighborhood. This is the only person that does laundry, so he can get away with bad behavior because, I mean, you don't have a choice. This is the only person that sells these books. This is the only person that does this and that. So he gets to get away with a lot of bad behavior towards his customers because they don't have another option. And even with the biggest organizations, that may be the case. But in much more advanced and developed economies, you find out that if you mess up, the customer will simply dump you and move to the next service provider or the next, entrepreneur. So I want us to think about it as a differentiator. If you're running a business, if you are working in an organization where people have to consume what you're producing, think about customer obsession as a radical differentiator in our part of the world. Create relationships with your customers and harness those relationships. Don't just think about them as the numbers, as, they'll take care of themselves. If they don't like it this way, there's no problem. We'll continue. We can do without them. You can't do without them. They are the boss. Become obsessed with them. Now, let me go to my story. I'm going to go to my story. My story starts with earlier this week when I walked into the banking hall. And in that banking hall, we had about 34 people in the banking hall. And in that banking hall, we had about 9 tellers. And I shared this on LinkedIn earlier. 9 tellers, out of those 9 tellers, about 5 of them were attending to customers. As I was observing and I stood there, I started taking a bit of statistics, asking myself, why is this queue this long? What do these people think about this service? Eventually, I overheard the conversation of one of the tellers with a customer. I overheard that conversation. And I said to myself, let me eavesdrop just a little bit on what these people are saying. What they are saying, what the conversation is like. And the conversation was, as you might expect, the very same conversation that was going on in my mind. The guy was complaining to the teller that the queue was too long. The queue was just too long, asking why it was that long and all that. And when I eventually got to the queue, I now started, I also had that bit of chit chat with the teller, asking her why she thinks the queue is so long. And one of the things she talked about was the nature of the application they were using to serve customers, how that this application was hanging every 5 minutes thereabout. And it just opened up a whole can of worms for me, because it was like there are two elements that are at play there. The person responsible for customer experience in that bank could get in better in touch with the reality on the ground. by coming to the banking hall and just watching what is happening. You know, there are certain kinds of feedback that you cannot get from your customer by asking them to give you that feedback. You need to, you know, engage with them in the way that they are interacting with your product. And that's what was happening to me in that banking hall. I was evaluating how the customer was interacting with the product, interacting with the service. I mean, they could bear it because they are here. They can't go to court in this part of the world. Maybe that's the best bank in their country and so forth. They can bear with it. They can put up with it for a while. But after some time, you realize that people will begin to respond to you based on how you've been treating them. The people who are paying you, those customers who are paying for that service, they will at some point begin to respond to you, begin to treat you, the service provider, the seller, the trader, and all that, in the way you have been, you know, treating them. So we need to be very cautious of this, that look, let me step into the experience of the customer. Let me go and watch him using my application. Maybe I'm an application provider. Maybe I've written some software. I've deployed it. I've sold it to them. Maybe I've hoodwinked them into buying it in the first place. But in order to make it the next sale, I must be willing to go back and sit down with them and say, look, let me see, what is your experience actually using this product that I am delivering to you? Imagine visiting your customer as maybe you're selling drinks, or you're selling honey, or you are selling some kind of packaged food, and you want to sit with them one of those days at the dinner table and see how they consume your product. How they consume your product, how they react, what is the level of elation, what's the level of ecstasy, so to speak, that they experience when they are drinking your juice or putting their honey, your honey in their tea. Assuming it's a child's product, maybe it's a toy that you're selling, and the customer is different from the consumer in this case. The customer is the parent who pays for the product. The consumer is the child who plays with the toys. And you go to the family and you want to see how the child is interacting with this toy. And you know, want to get some feedback. You have some feedback that is not verbal. Feedback that is behavioral. Feedback that is in the context of how they are actually using the product. Another level of customer obsession. And this is especially important for a small business that, I mean, maybe you have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 customers. And 5-6 of them are your top priority customers. And you want to really get into their business, get into their lives, get into their experience, and determine whether what you are supplying to them is making a lot of sense. You see, I mean, that's what it is about. Imagine attending an event to see how your customers are wearing your clothing, the clothing you sold to them, the outfits you sold to them, the shoes or the footwear you sold to them. I mean, that is another level of customer obsession. You want to see, are they proud to wear what you have sold to them? Are they checking themselves in the mirror to see whether they look okay? When they wear these shoes, how do they walk? You know, are their steps telling you they are comfortable in the shoes that you've sold to them? Imagine sitting in the office with a customer that is using your application, and you want to see how they are interacting. How difficult do they find that application when they are using it? Are they looking for something they can't find? There was a particular, you know, experience I had earlier today. I had been using a particular online application on my laptop, and I wanted to demonstrate it to someone on my phone. And I discovered that it was dramatically different. I couldn't find some buttons, some features, some functions, simply because, I mean, I wasn't used to it, and it hadn't been designed in my estimation to be intuitive enough for me as the customer to use it right on the mobile. So those are the kind of things you want to once in a while check out. Sit down with the customer somehow. Get feedback from them by experiencing their experience. Put yourself in the customer's shoes. Now, I'm going to share another story, and I just want you to, if you're in the room, I mean, share it, share a clip of it, drop a chat and comment and you know, let's have an interaction. Think about ways in which this matters to you, ways in which this means something to you, in your own experience. The second story is a story from a particular organization that made that was making detergents. And that organization, they wanted to see, how can I improve the experience of my primary customers? Let's assume they thought of their customers as housewives who do their laundry by themselves at home, right? And they do the laundry for their families. They wanted to walk that journey with them on how they use the product, the detergent that they were selling. So they instead of putting out questionnaires, like I said, when you put out questionnaires, people respond in ways that are convenient for them. They don't want to hurt anybody. They may not even know their experience. They just try to articulate it as best as they can when they are responding to a survey. But here, the organization decided, we want to watch these women using our product. We want to watch them. So in watching them, they go from the point where the woman puts the laundry in the washing machine, lets it run for some time, takes it out of the washing go to the clothes line, hang the thing, and then, you know, put on the clips, wait for it to dry, maybe at the end of the day go back to pick up those clothes. One thing they noticed about most of the women that they studied was that these women would sniff the clothing. They would sniff the clothing to determine how good the perfume from this detergent was. Of course, obviously, that's not the detail that is involved in that action. But it had a good feeling to sniff something that you had washed and to be satisfied that it smelled good to you. To sniff it and to be satisfied. You see, if you probably were doing a survey to determine the experience of the customer with the detergent, you might not necessarily ask them, do you like the smell of the clothing when you finish washing them? It's more like something instinctive, something in their own personal experience that, look, I want to know whether this clothing is clean. I sniff it. And the better it smells, the better the more they feel that they have acquired a great product in terms of the detergent. So I want you to think about all the things you could discover by simply observing the customer, by simply becoming so obsessed with your customer in your own context that you go to the marketplace, that you go to where that customer is experiencing your product, whether it is in the office where they're using your application, or in a party where they are wearing your clothes, in their homes where they are drinking your juice, or wherever it is that they experience your product, experience your service, to watch what their real reaction is when they experience your product. I want you to think about it. Think about, you know, creating an avenue for you to experience the experience of your customers. I see only Kojovi is here, right here, live. I trust that others will be able to, you know, listen to this later. So I'm bringing you, Kojovi, on the floor. I want to hear your understanding of this short topic in your context. Share your experience. If there's something you want to just share on this, I'd like to hear it. I just sent you an invite on to come up to the podium to share. I'll just wait for that to happen. If you, 1 or 2 minutes, you know, in this conversation before we close out the room. The customer is the king. He is the one that is paying for the product. Without him, there is no business. And customer obsession is a powerful differentiator in Africa. We must create the relationships thank you, Paul, for joining as well. If I don't know if you can hear me. The relationships that help you harness that that differentiating factor. A lot of people out there, they are just careless about the way they treat the customer. And if we want to take it a notch higher, beyond customer experience to obsession, you must be totally consumed by thinking about how the customer is experiencing your product. One way to do that is to observe the customer in the marketplace. I've given two examples of that today, and I want you to just take that home. If you're going to be listening to this after now, listen to it, meditate on it, and think about how it brings, how it fits into your context. So my name is Kenneth Geary. I'm an enterprise architect, and part of my role is to simplify things, across stakeholders. When I say stakeholders, think about it as somebody who is concerned, impacted, informed, or simply interested in what you are delivering. So you want a customer is a key stakeholder in your cycle, in your product cycle. And one of my jobs is to try to interpret, bridge the gap between different sets of stakeholders. Do that through models, through artifacts, through different kinds of means to make sure that we are communicating. And that's what I've tried to do with my interactions on Kabila Community, to simplify the concepts that are typically used in the corporate sector, to bring them to simpler levels and see how people in the marketplace, in the world of my environment, Africa, can apply this concept. So, Kojovi, you have something to share in that context. Please share with us.
Hello?
Yes, hello. I can hear you. Ken. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good evening. Okay. Yeah, the topic of customer topic is very key, because it's a one thing to bring to come up with a product or a particular service. It's another thing also to make sure that the service or the product you're trying to sell is actually helping the customer. I came across a lot of people have a very good a product, but I feel like the focus is on how to make money. They don't, because the product is able to sell, or some few customers are okay. And they don't care whether other customers are also okay, but as far as they're able to make some money, then they don't bother too much improving the customer service aspect, which for me can really expand their business. But they feel like as far as some people are still patronizing their product, they are okay. Let me give you a very simple example. You see people selling some product, which sometimes you feel like, this product, the way they are packaging it, a lot of people will not be okay with it, but few people are okay and they are patronizing. You will see that if they can package this way, a lot of people will like it. But you feel like the owner of the product doesn't really care. So it's a very key topic. If you really want to move to the next stage, expand the business, let your product be more recognized. But sometimes it's not the case. It's true. You see sometimes some people are patronizing some product, but you feel like, no, this does not really fit into what you want. But in one way or the other, you will see like the product, you wish the owner of the product can do it this way to make a lot of people like it. That's not the case. When it comes to application software or other aspect, also the same way. Like what is the example you just gave, the banking hub, for example. It's true, maybe the real developers never have the time to come to the banking hall to see how effective is the application. Is the application really helping the the bank to achieve its a dream or if it's a objective. But it's not just a merit that the application is able to take the input, process the data and bring out the required output. It's also key to make sure that the application is able to manage the queue. The bank, eventually a lot of people come to the banking hall. How the application is going to really help in those aspects? So it's a very, the customer service is a very broad aspect of successful business or world-class business. Anyone want to go up to the next stage to be a world-class business, is one of the key things which really the people that owner need to really work at it by observing how the users, how the client or customers are patronizing the product. Is the product really serving them? Is the product really giving them any advantage? Because there are other alternative outside there. If they are not getting any advantage or any special anything special about your product, tell me that one day they will surely move and start using the other product. So it's a very key point we always need to look at. Anyone who wants to really expand his or her business really need to look at how people are patronizing the product, how customers are happy about the product, because that's what will sell the product. Because if one customer is happy, that customer will surely go out and make the noise and do the marketing for you. I see company who put a lot of money, do marketing, but sometimes I look at the product, I say, this product needs to be worked on. It's like the product is not really fit for purpose, but the product owner is rushing to how to make money quick. It's not always how to make money quick. Sometimes we really want how to sit down and ask ourselves, does the product really give any anything good to the customer? Is it any advantage the customer is getting from this product? Is that the product is really serving the customer a purpose? So if the product is not serving the customers, you see very few customers, you end up wasting a lot of money doing marketing, and at the end you end up going out of business. But if you take your time to polish your product, do the necessary check, get close to the users or the customers who are patronizing the product to see how they are feeling, how happy they are with your product, then you can advise yourself how to polish it, how to improve it. The money sometimes you will be using to do marketing, you could have used that money to work on your product. If in the beginning it's 5 customers were happy about your product, those 5 customers will do the marketing for you, and your business will spawn on its own. No need to go and go for a loan, come and do marketing, go on TV, on radio, why the product does not really fit for its purpose. So it's a very good topic. That the future I want to add to it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Kofi. So let me just, I'll just mute you so that we don't have the echo. If you please mute. Yeah. So okay. I have I have picked up a few things on what you've said, and one of the things is, if you want to move to the next level, if you want to become world class as a small business owner, then you should give attention to the experience of the customer, customer obsession. You should put yourself in their shoes, and not just put yourself in their shoes theoretically or as a figure of speech, but sometimes go down to where they are experiencing your product and see how they are experiencing your product. And I want to bring in some other aspects, you know, because you can think of your customer as the end customer. You can also think of the customer as that person who is asking you for a certain deliverable. As a person working in a big organization, that customer could be your boss. Sometimes the boss appears to be difficult, but as long as he is the one who is demanding your output, you need to ask yourself, what can I do to make this customer of mine happy? So as an employee, one of your direct customers is your boss, before the end customer that consumes your company's products. And you must also always ask yourself, how is this customer of mine seeing my output? Can my output change my level in the next 1 year? Can my output change my level? What is his perspective? Not just my perspective, not just I'm working so hard, but am I delivering on point to the point that his experience is pleasant with me? Because what I'm selling is my skill. I'm selling my skill to my organization, and my first point of contact in the selling of my skill is my boss. And we must be open-minded enough to say, I want to really understand what this boss sees wrong in my output and determine how I can correct it. I want to really understand what this difficult customer sees in my output that is not right and correct it if I want to go to the next level. Otherwise, we'll just be in the level where we are the one healing ourselves without realizing that the person who should be healing us is the person who is consuming our product. So be open-minded, be willing to receive criticism, be willing to make adjustments, be willing to repackage the product for the customer. There are some times when you ask a certain service providers, oh, can you do this for me? They say, oh, no, this is not how we do it. That doesn't make sense, because the customer is the one who pays. As long as he can pay, create a package that fits their desire. Create a package that fits their desire as long as they can pay, because the customer is the boss and the boss is the customer. And this is just if you want to go world class. Another thing could be said, not just money, not just the money you're earning now. Is your business sustainable? Is your career sustainable? Is your service sustainable? Aside from the fact that today people are hailing you, are you just a local champion? Are you just a local champion in the workplace? Are you just a local champion in your small business? When the next big competition comes, will you survive? You know, are you just satisfied with the money you're collecting from those small set of people who don't mind because they don't know any better? So think about this. Be open enough to extend yourself and say, how can I become totally obsessed with the customer that I will go and find out what their experience really is, whether they are just tolerating me or they are actually delighted with me. Thank you very much, Kujibi. Thank you very much, everyone. I noticed that some people are listening from the web. Thank you for being there. Try to get the Clubhouse app so that you can also engage in the conversation. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everyone who passed through as well. We'll stop the conversation here, and hopefully others will listen in, and maybe we'll continue the conversation on WhatsApp or next week on customer obsession. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. I'll be closing the room in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.